The French lodged a very, very stern protest in Berlin and with the League of Nations. Great Britain did not. By the close of 1936, the Treaty of Versailles was a dead letter. Hitler, by 1936, had not only revised the treaty's military terms, he'd simply pushed them aside. In 1937, in a meeting with his top military and foreign policy advisors, Hitler laid out what he saw as the likely course of events in international affairs, his general objectives. It was a sort of tour of the horizon of his foreign policy objectives. He indicated the need for Lebensraum. He talked about the likelihood of conflict with Austria, with Czechoslovakia, possibly Poland, the likelihood that this would draw France, certainly, possibly Britain, into war with Germany. His foreign policy advisors and his military advisors were taken aback by this. His military advisors pointing out to him, as gingerly as they could, that this would likely involve Germany in a two-front war. Surely the Fuhrer, while they could understand his overall objectives, surely this was not precisely the way to proceed. His foreign Hitler brushed aside their objections, said that this diplomacy would take care of the possibility of a two-front war, when his foreign policy advisors suggested that this might actually be a difficult thing to manage, he brushed aside those objections as well. This meeting with his top foreign policy and military advisors, it was a top secret meeting, was recorded by Colonel Hossbach, the so-called Hossbach Memorandum. It's an important document because it does indicate as early as 1937 that Hitler is thinking very consequentially, as the Germans would say, about expansion in the East and the likely outcome of that. Then in the spring of 1938, a major international crisis would emerge. 1938 was to be a year fraught with danger on the international scene. It was a year that, in many ways, announces the beginning of Europe's slide toward war in 1939. The first of those crises would come in the spring of 1938 in a major international crisis that was largely provoked by Nazi foreign policy. In 1934, the Austrian Nazis had attempted to overthrow the Austrian government in a coup d'etat. It had been, they assassinated the Austrian prime minister, but the coup had been repressed. France, Britain, even Mussolini's Italy had rallied to Austria's side, threatening Germany against this sort of thing. But by 1938, the Austrian government was increasingly worried about German intentions. The prime minister there, the Chancellor Schuschnigg, therefore had sought guarantees from Italy, from France, from England, of Austrian sovereignty should the Nazis in Germany attempt any sort of initiative with regard to Austria. When it became public that the Austrians were in fact taking soundings in Rome, in Paris, and in London about this, the Nazis argued that this was a breach of the understanding that had been arrived at between Germany and Austria after the attempted coup of 1934, against the spirit of an agreement in which they would try to cooperate in foreign policy and so on. And therefore, Germany, in effect, seemed to threaten the independence of Austria. The Chancellor Schuschnigg of Austria traveled from Vienna to a personal meeting with Hitler in Berchtesgaden outside of Munich, where Hitler browbeat him, threatened him, argued that the Austrian government was dishonest, that it was repressing the Nazis in Austria, that it had broken the agreement of 1934, and therefore he didn't know how long he could restrain the fury of the German people at the Austrian government.